Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast and on videos, Alan Green, his nice pink shirt after the bank holiday weekend. Have a nice weekend now.
Yeah, I had a great one, thanks. Well, actually, it was great at the start because Saturday was great. Weather was fantastic. So you're out in the garden, sun shining all day long, wonderful. And you think, yes, summer's finally arriving. Sunday, not quite so good. Good classic car show in Eastbourne I went to. That was fun. And then yesterday, it was just chucking down all day.
It was dreadful, wasn't it? I know. Couldn't fit the dog out. I literally took the dog out at 6 o'clock in the evening because it was raining and she doesn't like the rain.
Me too.
But she looks at me like it's my fault. So you're taking me out. I go out and she just puts her bum on the floor and doesn't want to go.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to drag you along the floor. So, you know, I know. But it's nice today. The weather is really nice today. I took her out today, the dog, and I was actually T-shirt and I was really hot by the time I came back. So it was nice.
Well, I'm hoping to get out with the dog later on this afternoon. It's been a pretty busy day so far, as you know. But certainly, I think the weather forecast for this week, it's quite benign. I think we've got this period of high pressure, and I think we're going to have sort of decent sunny conditions for the rest of the week. And if it carries on over the weekend into next week, I'll be even more pissed.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, it's been reflected in the markets. I think. Look at this. I'm going to show you this. This is the AIM All Share. Look at that. That was previous resistance there, pretty much. And it shot above that. Now, look at that. Last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Out of the last 14 days, we've had only 3 down days.
Yeah.
That's very good. And it's breaking out, as I said, you know, previous resistance. Couldn't get about that. So do you know what? My message is this. I'm saying, if anyone's out there thinking of starting to invest and starting to, you know, put some money in the market. Now is a very good time. One of the best times ever to make money is out of the back of a bear market. Yeah, out of the back of a bear market, when you go into a bull market, some of the best gains are made ever there. That first almost like 20% move, and they go sideways for a while. But then, you know, it's nice to have a sort of, you know, good bit of profit in your belt. But I think over the next, you know, 3 to 5 years, it's a very good time to start from this level. And like I said, if you look at the AIM All Share, for example, it's down 2 years, for over 2 years. From up here, 6th of September, fell by 49%. It's had about a 15% rally. But I think now, as you can see here, Golden Cross here on the chart. When's the last time that happened? We had Death Cross up here. Yeah. The last time the Golden Cross happened was after the COVID Dash for Cash crash, 16th of July, and it rallied like crazy since then. So that's historic.
It nearly happened in April last year, didn't it? So it was an error on then. But no, I think we've seen a convincing turning point. But so often we say go away in May. I think please stay for May because I think you're going to see more of the same. And it's odd because the weather definitely does have an impact. I think for a lot of us and a lot of people that might look at it and look outside and say, oh, it's horrible, it's miserable. No, I'm not going to spend any money. I'm just going to keep my money in my pocket and try and buy that share lower down. You see a strong momentum like this, now's the time. And as you say, a turning point after a bear market, I think we've reached that point.
It's honestly, I think literally, normally, you know, you get bull markets between 5 and 7 years they last for. The last one lasted for over 10 years. That was largely down to central banks pumping in lots of money into the markets. So, you know, but this one is going to start now. And it, of course, with the tailwinds of reduced interest rates coming up, that'll help heck of, I mean, this is why this is starting to rally now. I mean, we're seeing, you know, economic figures turn the corner a little bit. They're improving a little bit. And even manufacturing figures, we're improving. But, you know, it's pricing in a reduction in interest rates. And even right now, we're still 40% down, 974 days since the high. And if you look back at the chart and any other bear market and look at the gains over the next, you know, once it's bottomed, over the next 3 to 5 years, they've been spectacular. So it's a very good time to start investing. If you're not, even if it's in a fund or anything like that, but it's a very good time to start. You know, and I'd suggest if you're new to it, you know, a low cost, maybe index fund, and on a monthly basis, put a little bit in, and you'll get a cracking return over the next, you know, 3 to 5 years. Absolutely will.
You will, yeah, yeah. From this point, I agree completely.
Okay, yeah. Alan, what are we looking at? And then what's coming?
Okay, well, we've been scouring the market, both of us, and I think there are some real opportunities out there now. But there are a lot of small companies that make the turnover good money, that make decent profits, and offer their shareholders something really special. I'm looking at a company called Crimson Tide, and of course there was I think it was a film of the same name, which was starred
Sean Connery, wasn't it?
Sean Connery as a submarine commander. So
yeah, as a Russian submarine commander with a Scottish accent.
That's it.
he literally, Sean Connery's such a star, they didn't care. He's, I'm not doing the accent.
It was a Scottish Russian accent, but he executed pretty well. That's a really special thing. But Crimson Tide, nothing to do with submarines, nothing to do with war. They are a software company based just up the road from me, actually, in Tunbridge Wells. The epicode is TIDE. Shares have traded on high so far this year of £3.30 on a low of £1.30. Currently trading at £1.50. So this company was founded by Chairman Barry Whipp in 1996.
Great name.
The company originally started out in telecoms and development of CRM systems. They launched the M-Pro Mobile Business Solutions app, floated the company in August 2006, and they became a Microsoft Gold Certified Partner. And what the M-Pro app does, it's basically a smart mobile working as a service. So instead of software as a service, it's smart mobile working as a service. Their revenue is based on subscription revenue. So typical contract for them is 36 months, and they get paid monthly, of course, to provide the service. And what the software does, it provides job scheduling, alerting, reporting, and that's all done on a Windows Azure cloud-based, as you'd expect, being a Microsoft Gold Certified Partner. Provides installation support. Now, this company works with some big names. Its major clients include Tesco, Northern Rail, the NHS, and speaking to companies who've previously been seeing the NHS to try and pitch business. It's a huge organization and great once you're in, but really, really hard to get into. So the fact that NHS are clients is a big plus in my book.
Aren't the NHS like the biggest employers in the world? I mean,
they're enormous, and there are so many departments. And if you're going to pitch, you've got to understand the infrastructure of the NHS, and you've also got to understand who's responsible for what, which department's responsible for what, and who you need to speak to. Because if you don't do your research at the outset, then you'll never get in. But the fact this company are in, it's one of their major clients, that's a big plus in my book. So to get through the doors there, they know what they're doing, these people. Clients also include Chartwells, which are part of Compass, also Compass Group as well, huge company, a coffee company, Illay Coffee, Chiltern Railways, Student Roost, and many others. So the company has, of course, relied on the subscription network. They do have churn. The company, and Barry Whipp, the chairman, readily admit that in the announcements when they're published. And of course, if we look at the share price for Crimson Tide currently, we're seeing the company, the shares really sort of fell down to lows in August last year, and it's recovered a bit since that time. But I think with this set of results the company just announced, and also the partial restructure, I think they're in a good position now to turn things around. They grew revenue up to December by 15%. That's 16.2 million. Operating profit, they're back into profit again after recording a loss on the previous year. So small operating profit of 400,000. The annual rate of return revenues, revenues from subscription clients, stable at 5.8 million. And they have cash of 3.3 million. In the bank with no debt, and that for a little company, that's really quite impressive.
It is. Well, look at that. Look at that. So market cap at 150. By the way, brokers have a 233% £5 target on this. And this is because it's, you know, recurring revenue. 90% is recurring revenue. Now, normally for recurring revenue companies, you can look at a sales multiple of 3 to 5 times. They're on one. So if because they are 9 million market or EV, you know, sales of one, because like I said, they've got cash of, what is it, 3.254 million. They've got no debt, operating cash flow of £1 million. So I think there's definitely, I mean, upside here. And if you look forward, there's no
premium for any upside. Or in fact, the fact that they have this this book of impressive tier one clients. I mean, it's an impressive company. And as I said, you know, do not underestimate what it takes to win a contract with the NHS. That impressed me more than anything. I think, as you say, you then look at the fact that it's trading on 1x. Well, three million cash in the bank and 6.2 million turnover.
One times enterprise value,
which is nothing. And I think the catalyst to turn this business around is there. The company has been winning internet IoT contracts in the USA and also with the NHS. But the Phil Myers, who joined the company as chief ops officer last year, has just been promoted to chief executive. And Phil's got a background where he worked for High Sky, Inmarsat, the satellite beagle, and prior to that with BlackBerry. Also, James Joyce of WH Ireland worked here and there with James for a few years. He's joined as a non-exec director as well. Of course, prior to being with WH Ireland, also worked with the Stock Exchange, London Stock Exchange, and Arthur Anderson prior to that. And the current Jackie Danielle, who's the CEO, moves to non-executive deputy chairwoman. So the same people are staying with the business, but just changing positions. So I think Phil Myers coming up to CEO is really going to drive the business now. They've got 3.3 million cash. They can really afford to market aggressively and get the M-Pro app into other companies. And as you say, you know, if brokers have got £5 price targets in this market, I think if it's going to do it at any time, it's going to do it now.
Yeah, well, look at, I mean, if you look at these, the forecasts here, they're looking at double-digit growth and getting bigger. And like I said, they've got 3.2 million in gaps. They only lost pretty much, 700,000 this year. EBITDA profitable, but 700,000 pretty much. And it goes to profit forecast for next year. So that cash is going to start building again. And so literally it's half their market cap pretty much, or it's a third of their market cap, but half, you know, but they are enterprise value. And like I said, look at the growth in profits forecast to happen. And like I said, look at that green value wise going forward. So I think it's one to look at, one to do your research on. Because like I said, it's one of those companies where small cap companies, this is a nano cap. They normally don't have that much cash like this. And if they do, they're burning a lot. This company's not burning a lot. It's going to be profitable. It's got a nice load of cash and it's recurring revenue, 90% recurring revenue. So, you know, they just, if they win contracts, it gets piled onto the hopper basically and, you know, tops up. So, it's one to look at. I mean, to chart the momentum here, if you look at the scores here, everything's pretty much good apart from momentum. Is like I said, this share price is above the 50-day moving average, above 200. And so that's why it scores lowly on the microcaps league here, because the momentum.
I think there's another factor as well, Jas. I think also a company like this with cash that's growing its business, there's a very strong case either for M&A activity around it. There are some bigger software companies around there, perhaps with bigger outlays or requiring outlay. They could look at Crimson Tide, you know, and say, well, actually, that would fit very nicely with what we do. We could use that cash on their balance sheet. Let's buy them out. And of course, you know, Barry Webb, I imagine, has probably had opportunities to sell out beforehand. Hasn't done that, but that isn't to say that a very good offer won't come along at some point. And you think to yourself, well, perhaps if Barry's been at the helm for all these years, he might want to sit back and put his feet up and play golf. You never know.
Well, do you know what? It won't take a lot. I mean, even if they, you know, win a decent contract, because liquidity in here is very low. You're talking about £5,000 a day in shares traded. And so you see any kind of positive news comes out, and there won't be enough stock around, you know. And that's why it gets sold off as well. It doesn't take a lot to take it down. Doesn't take a lot to, you know, to move it up. But right now, I think they are quite undervalued as where they are. But do your own research. Like you say, you know, it's a small company, so the risks involved. And so do your own research on that. Okay, what's next, Al?
Okay, an old favourite of ours. We've spoken many times about Warpaint. And, of course, Warpaint is the company that sells and manufactures and distributes its own cosmetics. It sells its own brand cosmetics under lead brand names W7 and Technic, and of course, following the acquisition of Retra in 2017, bought it all in house and has really been able to scale the business dramatically since that time. And I mean, it's a fantastic chart. You just look at the chart, it's top right hand corner stuff all the way.
Yes.
And we've spoken about the cash generative nature of the business. In fact, I'm just looking back at some notes on previous years about sales growth, revenue growth. You know, revenues in September 21, record interim sales 37%. That's mid-COVID. So we then come up to April. Of course, the company's just announced full year results to December last year, 31st December. Sales up 40%. I mean, this is just a story that repeats itself. It's the company that keeps on giving. Sales up 40% to 89.6 million. So distribution of revenue is interesting. 60% of revenue growth took place in the EU, only 17.6% in the UK. Good growth in the US too, just under 37%. But EU's been a real driver for the company this year, which is interesting given Brexit and everything else. Gross profit margins risen by 39.9% from previously. EBITDA up 74% to nearly 21 million. Pre-tax profits up 136% to 18 million. Cash of 9.1 million, up from 5.9 million last time, and no debt. And of course, you know, on the back of that, the company pays a small dividend. Dividend up 27% to 6p, the final dividend, 9p in total for the year. And of course, that's following on from an EPS earnings per share of 123% to 181 pence, or 18.1 pence rather. So also interesting to note, JP Morgan, major shareholder in the company, increased its holding from 8.7% to 5.23%. And of course, just as we were saying before we came on air, there was an accelerated book build in the company at £4.50 or 450 pence, two institutional investors, Samuel Banzini, the chief cook, bottle washer boss, the guy driving the business, now holds 20.6%, and Ewan McLeod also holds 20.6%. And although they sold some shares recently, they're still major shareholders in the business and have a major role to play going forward. But this company is a great success story. It's a great British success story, actually, and worth reminding people of that. And I think, if you got in a few years ago and the shares were 2.25p, when in fact that was the low was 2.35p, I think, back in 2023, over the past year, you'll be patting yourself on the back, and you'll also have a handsome dividend reward to boot. But showing no signs of slowing down. The company is doing more deals. It's rolling out in the US further still. It's securing further contracts. And, of course, with scale come economies of scale. So it's highly likely that the company could take further steps in the future to improve margins. And of course, with that will come increased volume as well. So well done to W7L or Warpaint. And more of the same, please.
Yeah, it's been fantastic, a story, a business. I mean, if you look here, I mean, everything is green here. Look at the totals. These are the scores. So the growth is green, momentum's green, health is green, efficiency is green. The only thing is not are the value and the potential, and of course, they're tied together because even I think average of brokers now is just 14% up. So it's rallied a lot. It may need to go sideways, pull back a bit, because if you look at the value here, you have 4.1x sales, it's a P27, so EBITDA of 18, price to free cash of 37. So it's not cheap, but it's a great business. Sometimes you have to pay up for a great business, but I'd wait for a little bit of a pullback. But everything else, it scores pretty much top scores, apart from the value. And it is a great business. One of the businesses, when you're looking around, the companies like this are rare, but when you find them, they're worth hanging on to. And like I said, I still think this, I think there's still some upside here. If you're looking on,
I think there's plenty
sales multiple. If you even on EBITDA, a 25 PE, which I don't think is a stretch because this is a growing company very quickly. The margin is decent. I see, 61% upside still. in total. If you, it's 5 times sales, it's a bit high maybe. But yeah, I think you see another 50-60% really. But like I say, I wish I'd got in there when we first started talking about the mile down here. It was, but I didn't. There we are.
Well, I think looking forward with Warpaint, what we've the company did provide some indication of how trading is going. Strong trading, quarter one 2024, unaudited sales of 23.5 million. That's up 28% on the same period last year. So we're on track for that. Seeing strong momentum in the US and the UK, further range and store expansions, including Etos, Normal, Tesco, The Range, and Vibra, and also many new customer wins too. So as I said earlier, that's what happens when you get these economies of scale. You can scale up. More people find out about the products, realize that if they stock your products, they're going to increase their sales. In they come, buy more. Your volumes increase. Your economies of scale mean that you can pressure your suppliers to get your costs down, and leading to greater profitability and hopefully greater returns for shareholders too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but my only concern is, like I say, looking forward, the forecast growth is still double digit, but it's not like 20-30%, like 40% like last year. It's 17-10, so you know, be careful of that, because it may pull back a little bit. But nevertheless, it's I think the big rises, the big, let's be honest, how much has it gone up by? You can't keep going up like this. The bigger the company gets, you know, it's the law of size, isn't it? So they've gone up.
It is
300%.
It'll get to a tipping point where it cannot continue to deliver the same level of growth. And then at that point, you know, who knows? There might be some opportunities to do a deal with some of the bigger cosmetic manufacturers in the world. But you know, either way, Warpaint is putting itself firmly on the map, and it's a force to be reckoned with. And that's great. That's great for investors.
Okay, what's the last one?
Okay, well, this is a newcomer to the AIM market. Well, actually, it was an RTO from a shell. This is a company called Electric Guitar. The epicode is ELEG, E-L-E-G. The company has just come to market. Just come to market. It's a great name, Electric Guitar, although nothing to do with guitars. This is all about data. It's a data investment proposition. And we for the last 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years, we have been using the internet through what we refer to as Web 2. So, of course, if you go onto Google, if you go to Facebook, advertisers see who you are. They see your they follow you around with their ads, and the
third party cookies. I mean, this is what
third party cookies. They collect your data.
Yeah, Silver Bullet does this as well. Silver Bullet data says, in fact, they're a bit more mature in this company. Their growth is fantastic, but exactly the same. You know, through regulation now, you can't be using third party cookies because you can only use first party. I mean, if someone comes to your website, you can, and they agree to it, they can drop a cookie on there, but you can't literally, someone else can't drop them. They can't follow you around everywhere.
That's right. Advertise
to you on different websites. And realize that, you know, data and privacy data is your data. And yet companies for a long time have been using it to their advantage.
Well, and they've also been selling your data without permission. So there's a huge shakeup coming, and the opportunities that's creating is absolutely huge, because what it will mean is the whole first data investment proposition means that if you're, as users of the internet, we get to choose what we see, who sees us, who we buy from, who sees our data, and we have complete control over that. And that's a wonderful thing. You know, it's a huge step forward. And as we go forward into the future, you know, all of the devices we use will become secure, but we'll have complete control over that. But of course, that has to be facilitated in the first instance. So Electric Guitar have come to market. They undertook a reverse takeover of Three Radical Limited, and Three Radical have their own Voco software, which is already deployed by major brands across the UK, US, and the Asia Pacific region. And these are predominantly in the financial sector, in online gaming, and also e-commerce in general. So when this switch off takes place, and it will come, 90% of cookie data will be switched off, will be redundant when the switch to Web3 occurs. And so companies are getting ahead of the curve, of course, like Silver Bullet, you mentioned just then, just Electric Guitar are in the same position. They go with three principal KPIs. Those, of course, key performance indicators. Engagement, so marketers have got to cut through noise and create engagement by forming meaningful connections with the consumers. Secondly, data. They've got to create first-party data relationships with consumers. And then there's understanding. So they've got to create data-driven understanding to deliver meaningful connections to their advertisers. And of course, that's now the most important driver of advertising. It's connecting to users in a meaningful way, not just following them around the internet, sneaking up on them and then nicking their data and then reselling on to someone else. That's theft, basically. And I'm sure we'll see some cases come to court in the future that will be around that. We've seen several already. So this is a huge marketplace, of course, so worth some $800 billion per annum. I mean, Facebook, I think last year, their advertising revenue generated something like $137 billion. It's just vast. It's unthinkably huge, these numbers. So the reverse takeover into Three Radical Limited raised $1.32 million at 2p. So Electric Guitar have a market capitalization of just about $4.7 million net of expenses at admission. The chief executive, John Regan, holds 4% of the company. Other directors like David Eldridge, who was one of the founders, still holds 2.4%. John Hutchison, the chairman, he holds 2.5%. So the group of directors and non-execs on their own own collectively about 12%. So having a board that's got skin in the game like this is hugely important. So we're right at the start of that journey, and we're going to see a lot of information from the company. You're going to be seeing a lot of John Regan in the coming weeks and months talking about the opportunity for Electric Guitar and, of course, the clients they already have. But I think on a bigger scale, for Web3 users, it's going to be absolutely huge. We're going to see a real sea change in the way we browse the internet and the control that we have over ads that we see and people that we interact with. And that's going to be a very good thing for the internet and the world in general.
Yeah. Well, the biggest gateway keeper to the internet is Google, and 60% of people use Chrome. And Safari and Firefox have already stopped using third-party cookies. Google, of course, are dragging their feet because they earn billions from it, because they're one of the biggest internet advertisers for companies in the world. They did say they're going to deprecate these cookies in the start of this year and end by the end of this year, but now they've pushed it out again. This was supposed to happen in 2022, and yet, like I said, Apple have done it, which has been a Safari, and Firefox has done it, and they are the second and third biggest browsers. And Microsoft are doing it as well, but Google with Chrome are dragging their feet because they earn the most out of it. But it's going to happen because it has to happen because it's regulation. Yeah, it's regulation. Yeah, so it's like I said, it's a huge, vast market, the digital advertising. I know so much about it because, like I said, Silver Bullet Data, and I've talked to Ian on that, but that's another company worth looking at with excellent growth. And they've got a 4D AI product, which looks at contextual advertising. And it's very interesting. But they've also got consultancy as well, and that product. So I quite like those. But yeah, it's a huge market worth keeping an eye on, because like I said, it's changing, and there's regulation in the way this. And it doesn't matter how big the companies are, in the end, they're going to have to abide by the rules and the laws of the internet and data. And so it will be a sea change. And of course, marketeers and companies who sell their products online, thinking, well, how do we market now without third-party data? So it's just a different way of going about it. So yeah, it's a very interesting space. But so ELEG there, and SBDS is the other company that puts that things very good. Marvel stuff out. What's happening with Tottenham, hey?
I hoped you weren't going to ask that question just because it was going so well.
I left it at the end. I didn't want to bring you down to start.
Well, actually, I was talking to somebody earlier about the Man United game last night. Of course, Man United lost 4-0 to Palace, which is, I think, it's the most amount of games they've lost, I think, since the early 70s or mid-70s.
Someone said, I think on Radio 5, saying if they finished, below seventh since the 70s.
It's quite astonishing. I mean, the one thing you can say is that, I mean, the Spurs played okay in the first half, I guess. They still conceded all those goals, but they did come back very strong in the second half. And I think we should have had a penalty when the defender basically kicked Brennan Johnson in the face, and I think that was a clear penalty. Okay. But anyway, that's just me. You know, I'm sure someone else will say, no, of course it's not. You're completely wrong. So, and of course, that's the thing great pub conversations are made of. So that's for another
when does one. Sentiment start changing towards Ange then? When does that happen? Because at the moment, he's been a bit of a hero in his... But now, his last two games, it's the same kind of game, last two games. He came out at a hammer in the first half.
Yeah, yeah.
He's come back in the second half. You know, why don't you start the game when the whistle blows rather than halfway through the game, you know? And well, give yourself a chance.
I mean, I think we're going to look at... we've had injuries, so of course, Richarlison's been out. And I think when Richarlison came on, it was a completely different game. But also, I thought Oliver Skipp did very well too. I thought he came on and really shored up the midfield. And the thing is, we've got two great defenders, but they can't do anything if the midfield are just letting stuff come through at them. And of course, when you've got an attacking team like Liverpool, that's really, really hard to do. But I think, you know, we can take half in the second half. We're playing Burnley next, and I think we're playing Man City as well. So we'll see what happens. I don't think we'll get fifth place, but we'll be in Europe next year anyway. We'll have European football, so that at least we've got that, because I don't think anyone's going to catch us now. But anyway, there we are. Mm.
Yeah.
Spurs summary.
Well, I'll leave you on a positive. You know, FTSE UK, FTSE 100 is, of course, at an all-time high, right?
Yep.
FTSE 250 is now in a bull market, technically. That's my little bull there. And it won't be long until AIM Alts here catches up, I think. So, like I say, just really start, if you're going to start investing or know someone to start, or just put some money, start putting some money in a fund for them. I think it'll be very good. Not name funds.
I think it's a very good time, and I think AIM does tend to lag the larger indices anyway. But I think now we are going to see some catch up, and we could be in for a very. I can remember back in, I think it was 2003 actually, we had a similar period where we'd seen the market in a lull, and of course with the dot-com boom hit, and we just powered all the way through May, June, July, and the market just rose and rose and rose. It was a really strong few months. So it started really well, because often when you go into May, there's just a sense of, a sense of the market drifting. But this is
when you start getting money inflow, though, and that's why
when
you start getting some money inflow, like I said there, it doesn't matter about the month, because if you come off a 2-year bear market and you go into a bull market, seasonality doesn't matter, you know, because we are in an exceptional situation anyway, massively oversold. I mean, that's 2009. Look at that, it rallied from March. Look at that, all the way up AIM, pretty much, always April next year. So from March 2009 until April, it's a year of bull run, pretty much. That's amazing. Yep. So that's the kind of, and that, by the way, the great financial crash, that's, you know, we've now been in the bear market longer than that we were for that. So I just think, we could see an excellent run here over the next few months, even years. It'll have some pullbacks, but I mean, you know, the bull market lasts for years.
It'll never go up in a straight line, I hope we turn the corner now. It would certainly appear so, and I think once AIM starts to catch up with the 250, then we're going to see some fireworks for sure.
And that's what happens, because, and also less money is needed for AIM, because of course it's almost like the small capillaries start thick at the top, like with FTSE 100, 250, and all you need is some, you know, liquidity coming down, and it takes a lot less to move the small cap stocks. And once people start seeing them moving, more money piles into them, and so they move even more. So they move, you know, faster on the way up and the way down. So take your positions, ladies and gentlemen.
Just to finish up there, just as well, there are lots of very good companies on the Aquis market as well. There are also some very quiet companies on the Aquis market. But if we see AIM pick up, then that lag effect will also trickle down into the Aquis market too. So it's a very good time to be in the markets. And if you're holding Aquis stock, you know, I think we could be in for a strong second half of the year.
Marvellous stuff. Cheers to Al, and speak to you next week.
Cheers, Just. Speak to you next week.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. People in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.